Have you ever wondered why you can adjust your driver but not your irons? The new SMS irons from Adel provide the ability to adjust your irons to match your swing, which presents the opportunity for significantly improved control of the club head. What does that really mean? More distance and better control off better strikes. Go visit www.adelgolf.com to learn more about what your current irons can't do.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
And welcome back to another episode of the original Off Course. I'm your host, Dan Edwards, and returning for the second time with some big news is Mr. James Costa of Clubhouse Archives. How are you, my friend?
I'm well, Dan. I appreciate that. Doing well. Excited for our launch on Wednesday, and you know, obviously it's been a lot of work, so burning the candle at both ends, but I'm here, I'm excited, I'm ready to talk through, and I do appreciate you bringing me back.
Yeah, I love it. So everyone can find you at Clubhouse Arc NFT, that's ARC NFT on Twitter. A lot of updates go there. It seems like that is your sort of information hub to connect people with what's going on at Clubhouse Archives. Is that pretty fair to say?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I was a Web 2 guy for most of my career, and Instagram and Facebook were really kind of the platforms of choice for those businesses. For whatever reason, Web 3 has decided that Twitter is the de facto information dissemination platform, I guess for obvious reasons, but that is where we've planted our flag.
That's cool. Yeah. And it's been a couple months now. We've seen some significant changes. I really appreciate that you showcase a lot of what's going on with you. Looks like you guys went to a pretty awesome party over there in New York City. That I'm sure you can tell me some stories about, but also some new product that looks like it might be showing up. All dropping there on that Twitter, worth checking out. So my very first question to you today is, what is new? What's going on?
Well, we have landed on our mint date, which is another way to say it. That is the sale of our membership passes. That is Wednesday, the 13th. So 2 days from now, we will be selling 1,880 passes. We finally got that solidified and cemented. It was a long time coming and a little bit of a moving target with market conditions and whatnot, but it's here now. And that's literally a year and a half in the making. But there's a lot of new stuff that we've added in. So everything happens for a reason, right? And I think we'll talk about that as we progress through, but the ability to purchase NFTs through credit card is probably one of the biggest things that we'll get into in a little bit.
Yeah.
Other than that, the Key Society and all of the exciting announcements that we've had with people that have come on board to support us and help guide us to success. And, other than that, there's a host of things that we can dive into, but those are the two key points that we probably should stick to, because you and I can talk forever. I learned that.
Yeah. Well, it's nice to bridge those gaps, and that's definitely what I'm here for. Beyond just being super fascinated about the adventure you guys are on right now. And I like to joke that Clubhouse Archives is kind of like a storm brewing, just waiting to hit. As it turns out, that was actually a tornado that hit about a mile from my house when we originally anticipated the recording of this podcast. So first of all, my apologies to everyone for being a couple of days late. I get it, but this is a big deal. We didn't want to skip a week and wait till Friday, because you do have the mint coming this week, and we wanted to get this conversation out there beforehand. What do you think is going to be unique about this experience? Partly the new portion of it, like jumping in early for people. What does it look like, and what may be different between this one and something that comes in the future?
Well, it's all new, right? Web3 is an entirely new space, and I do feel like a pioneer, which has been pretty awesome. I'm not gonna lie. But the difference between what we're doing and perhaps what I've also seen thus far from apparel/golf NFTs or Web3 businesses is we are planting our flag, right? We are saying we want to be Web3's ultimate brand. And being completely blockchain born and saying, hey, we are an apparel brand that is going to deliver high quality, you know, luxury made in Italy goods. That's not like a Web 2 brand coming into Web 3 and saying we're going to dip our toe, right? So the difference, I believe personally, is probably going to be the things that you get and the value. And I could probably go over those now. It would make a lot of sense. I do want to be crystal clear in the communication, because I understand that there are individuals that are not in the Web 3 space. So on Wednesday, when I say that we're going to have 1,880 membership passes up for sale, what does that mean? What am I getting, right? That's a big question for people. Great, that sounds awesome. What does that mean? Those membership passes are your lifetime membership pass into the ecosystem of Clubhouse Archives and everything that we do in the future. So essentially, you can think of yourself as almost a founding member, right, of an organization, of a brand that will deliver seasonally apparel in the physical form. So that's the other thing I want to be crystal clear on. So how do we do that, and kind of what's involved? Well, once again, we're going to allow our membership, that initial 1,880 individuals, a voice. So they get to vote on the direction of the brand, right? So they get to vote on product development. So that's a cool prospect. The second part of that is access. They get early access to the apparel once we've decided on what we're going to make. So you have priority access. And the one thing we've added, I guess you asked what was new. This is another point. They're all going to receive a free garment. And the reason why we're doing that is we want that core group that supported us early to not have to pay to experience that tangible intimacy that we're going to deliver to them. That's really critically important, that they get that that experience and that they don't have to pay additional money for that. So they're going to vote on that. It's going to be a really cool sweatshirt that's indicative of the environment right now with the market conditions. It's going to be the HODL, which stands for Hold On For Dear Life. they'll vote on the color combinations. They'll vote on, you know, is it going to be a leather base with a melt and wool fabrication top patch? And then we will produce that and ship those to those holders so they can be first in that experience. But that is something we did add that's new. And then the other part of this that I really want to make sure people understand, when they buy that membership pass, we're going to give every one of those 1,880 individuals the opportunity to KYC and fill out a 1099. Okay. Also a new explanation here. With an independent contractor agreement. Why are we doing that? If they do that and they're voting on collections, right? When I say vote, it's not a DAO. I don't want people to believe this is a DAO. You're giving, it's like a incentivized focus group, right? That's the best way to say it. If they do that and they participate in the focus group, we're then able to compensate them for that. So they will share in a percentage of the sales and the royalties of the brand in perpetuity. And the reason why we are doing that is because they are literally going to be helping us shape and mold the direction of the brand. So that's our way to give back to our membership. So, you know, it's not a security. You're going to have to work for that, right? You're going to have to participate and be part of that product development focus group, if you will. But once again, when you think back and you asked me a moment ago, what's been done up to this point and how is this different? The whole thing is different. This has just never been done before. So it's all different, and it's exciting. And I couldn't be happier with the model that we've set and the value and what we call utility, right? That we're going to be able to provide back to those holders and those members of our community.
Yeah. And I think one thing we need to circle back on as you talk about what makes these garments unique is that this is like hyper premium product. It's not just you go to whatever local store and you just purchase something off the rack. That's not really the experience it seems like people will have here. I mean, you told me a bit of a story, and I want you to go into it about wearing product and people stopping and asking about it. Like, that's kind of the quality that aligns here.
There's two things there. You know, someone I was talking to, it was yesterday, brought up this a question. I said, well, you say it's exclusive, but I can go to, you know, and they're limited runs. But when I go to a store, I buy the same thing, right? They produce that. They might not produce that good again. And I said, yeah, but are they tied to the blockchain? They said, what do you mean? Well, all of our clothing is going to come with an NFC chip. This is another major difference between, anything you can buy outside of the space and what you're going to be getting with Clubhouse Archives, that NFC chip allows you to hold your phone near the garment and authenticate the product back to the blockchain, right? Authenticate you as the owner and it as being an authentic piece. And then let me paint a picture for you. So I did go to New York and I did participate in NFT NYC. And this is actually one of the garments that we produced that I was wearing in addition to one of the jackets that we made, the Diamond Hands jacket. Everywhere that I went, I was getting stopped, right? And I was actually at a ton of events that were being hosted. One of the technologies that they use to get into events is something called token proof. So it allows you to verify your NFT and gain access into an event. We can now do that with a garment because of the NFC chip. So think about this. You're standing in line and everybody's showing their phone and they're doing their little scan to get in. They can hold that near your collar or near your breast pocket. And the item on your back will get you into the event. And that's, once again, just a cool kind of prospect when you think of that. So I really was being a little tongue-in-cheek when I said everything is new, but almost everything about what we're doing with this process is new, except for the fundamental of designing, developing, and producing apparel. That's what I've done for 23 years, and that part's not going to change.
So, and this is kind of, it's going to sound as dumb as I think it will, but I want you to run with it anyway.
Sure.
You know, we've been saying that we've been living in a digital world for a long time now. I mean, you are living in a phygital world, which is a word I'd never heard of. And obviously, it's fairly new. So this is like a physical digital asset. It's like a combination of the two, right? Is that effectively what you're accomplishing here?
Yeah. You know, when people ask us what it is that you do, like give me the elevator pitch. I always just say we're an apparel brand that's going to enhance the customer experience through NFTs and blockchain technology. And they're like, what in the hell does that mean?
You got 4 hours to explain this. Yeah.
We're going to sell clothing and it is literally going to be tied to a digital asset, which is a representation of that physical item. So think of them as mirrored twins that connect via a digital authentication. That's the easiest way to describe it. Why are we doing that? We're like, why don't you just sell clothing? Well, I've done that for 23 years. The digital part is what allows me to provide a ton more utility, right? Through that authentication, through that ownership. So the things like the access and the cool ability to make my shirt now get me into an event, the ability to tie this back to compensation through really an incentivized focus group, the ability to vote on product development. All of those things are part of this digital world that we're living in that you just explained. And that's what makes this such a unique prospect. So when I do say that we're selling clothing and providing an enhanced customer experience, that's what that means. That's the explanation of why that's the case.
It's almost like, as weird as it sounds, double dipping into the purchaser experience, because we went back, if you go back in the day, there's a time when you could buy a CD off the rack, and then you eventually had the ability to go buy the digital asset in much the same way, and then you could burn it onto a CD. So now effectively you have both. It seems like this concept goes beyond just that audible experience or something where you have this ownership via CD or something like that, maybe even a movie. And now it turns into something deeper than that. And basically what I'm trying to do here, James, is tie this in a way that someone who doesn't have familiarity in this digital world, doesn't have this familiarity in like hyper premium clothing experiences, where those connections lie and why they should maintain their interest in something like Clubhouse Archives.
Yeah, I mean, we could also talk about the accessibility part of this, because I think that that's, I honestly think that that's a high barrier to entry in terms of a lot of individuals in their minds, right? To wrap your head around what we're doing, you just gave an example of the song that you purchased that you could burn onto the CD, right? Imagine if you bought that song though, and every time that song played, you actually owned a part of that and provided royalty for that. That's kind of what you can wrap your head around in a similar experience to this. Look, you're going to go onto the internet, right? And you're going to click a picture the same way that you do when you're on Ralph Lauren's website. When you click that picture, you're going to click purchase. When you purchase that, an item is inevitably going to show up. The only difference is you voted on that item, right? You had a hand in what those items that you were looking at were going to be. So the actual user experience in front of the computer or on the mobile device is not changing that much. And we've altered it in a way that will allow more individuals, though, because what most people are going to say is, I'm not into the crypto thing. I don't have a crypto wallet, and I don't even want to begin to understand how to get that onto my phone, because I understand that that's not easy because I've done it. And I'll be honest, it's not.
Well, let me tackle that a little bit, because there was a lot of really, really fun discussion on the THP community after our original episode, talking about like, this is over my head, or someone who's involved in NFTs is like, this is very much in a lane that I'm super curious about. But there's also a lot of confusion and a lot of that separation between I get the concept of NFTs and I get the concept of things like digital currency. But then there's also that, like, I have no idea and I'm so afraid to hit that wall. And I had a conversation with my dad about, trying to better understand it. And he goes, well, I want to buy him, but I don't, you figure that out. I was like, well, hold on a second. Like, let's have a conversation here. He said, it sounds really cool. Let's do it. I'm like, well, there is a barrier and you need to get comfortable with it. It sounds like everyone who I've talked to doesn't have a really challenging time getting connected once they actually put the time in to understand it. But I think there's another thing going on here, and you've opened the door and created accessibility to Clubhouse archives without actually having that digital wallet. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. That's what I mentioned earlier that we'd probably dive into, and I'm glad that we are. Accessibility is a major issue in the Web3 space for all the reasons that you just listed. The parable that you just gave there is a perfect example of individuals that want or to get into the space or see the value in a business that's in the space and say, that's interesting, but I've got to jump through all of these hoops. We partner with a company called CrossMint. It's crossmint.io if you wanted to check that out. It enables anyone that is looking to sell NFTs to a broader market the ability to allow those end consumers, those end customers, to put their name, email, credit card information in and buy the NFT. And then those NFTs are held in a custodial wallet through the CrossMint platform. And if it comes to a point that the individual then wants to eventually transfer that out into their own crypto wallet, they can do that. If not, it's still held there and they're still the owner of that. So we're now offering our NFTs to the broader market. So when you asked in the beginning what was new, that's the biggest kind of step forward. It makes a lot of sense for anyone in the Web2 space that says, I've really wanted to explore the opportunity of owning an NFT to understand the value, but there are too many barriers for me to want to have to push through in order to do that. And I'm also concerned about security and everything else. So we've created a very easy on-ramp for them to do that. So this really is for those individuals. And I know that there are a number of those types of individuals that'll be listening into this. And to those individuals, I want to say, we hear you and we're here for you. And that's why we've really done this, to be really honest with you. It is to help onboard those that want to be safely onboarded into an environment that, quite frankly speaking, most from the outside looking in are like, that's not something I want to do to get in there. And so, this kind of option really, really helps.
Yeah. So I want to add another element to that as well, because there is an understandable concern about your online privacy, number one, and your, for the lack of a better word, the potential for people to get into your personal information or items. The idea of not wanting to have an extra credit card in case it gets taken, or the idea of not wanting to have crypto in case it gets somehow taken. Like there is a legitimate fear from people about the safety of them being more interconnected online. Sure. Now that you have this deep experience of it, can you speak to those folks and give them an idea of, number one, where the digital currency market is in the safety that's around it, and then also something like this CrossMint experience? Is it more like a digital vault? Like basically you take your money to a bank and that is safe there versus putting it under your mattress.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I'm glad that you asked that question. We all transact every day online. And to be really honest with you, blockchain technology is actually a higher level of encryption. It's much safer. If you look up ISO 222 blockchains, you'll see that the US government and even SWIFT World Banking is going to be moving to that for all of their transactions. So let's think about this for a second. SWIFT, we all know what SWIFT is when we go do a bank transfer, especially if you've done any international transfers. So the international market, which is every country in the world that falls under and uses the SWIFT technology, will now be transferring over to blockchain technologies because it's safer, it's faster, and you can do a higher number of transactions within that ecosystem, right? So that's just an example. And the reason why I'm saying that is if those individuals and those organizations and those countries are doing that, put this down now to the micro level. When everyone hears of all of the breaches and or theft within the space, it's due to human error. Meaning, just like in the email, when the Prince of Nigeria emails me and says that I click on the link and he's going to give me $1 million, if I click on that link, I'm exposing myself to have my computer breached. That's existing in Web3 as well. But it's no different than what we're experiencing today. It's just a new set of behaviors, right? So as long as you understand, you know, don't click on links from strangers, you know, the same basic things that we should bring into everyday practice, then it is like a vault. And it is like dealing with your bank. And you could choose to put your money under your mattress if you like. But, you know, we do live in a digital world. And we all use these tools every day. It's just another mechanism and means of utilizing technology that's existed for years, just in a new environment, that's all.
So let's circle back a little bit to the whole crypto experience, because I believe if I remember correctly, this was all built on the Ethereum. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And is that maintained at this point? And the follow-up question to that is, I believe Ethereum has changed in value since we last talked. And does that have a role or impact on people buying in or not buying in?
It did. And let me explain. It had an effect on where we valued the membership pass. You know, you go into a crowded room and things fall silent. Your inability to read the room can sometimes be a detriment, right? You could be that loud guy that speaks and everyone else is obviously understanding what's going on in the current situation. And this was no different. When we saw the value of cryptocurrency in the broader markets, right, the broader financial system start to decrease in value, we really went back to the business model itself. And we said, all right, what do we need for 2 years runway? What do we need for 1 year's runway? And looked at the business from that perspective to say, hey, where do we value this pass in today's market in terms of the underlying lifetime pass? And it was, I believe, at 0.3 Ethereum at the time, which was around $900. We stripped that away to start saying point anything. We're valuing this in USD because everyone knows and understands that. So it's $600 USD. Whatever the price of Ethereum is on that day is what it's going to be. That's not how we value this. We literally looked at our business model, determined where we needed to be and what the price needed to be to get us there. And that was where we landed on the $600 price point. So just to be clear with everyone, it doesn't matter what the price of any cryptocurrency is going to be on that day. The price of the pass is going to be $600.
Yeah, that helps a lot because I was following it a little bit and I knew you had a predefined. So the idea that you actually went back and normalized that for both people looking in is really great. I want to talk about the Key Society, and maybe for those listening who need a refresher, what does that mean? And what has changed in the Key Society since the last time we talked?
Yeah, that's an exciting topic. I think if you're following us on Twitter every day, you're seeing a multitude of individuals release their Key Society token, which is really just a one of one rotating garment that I designed with each individual. So it's a really cool token, and it's unlike a lot of other tokens out there in the Web3 space. So I get with those individuals, we design that token for them, and that becomes their token within the space. I know you love my Yankees cap, so I'll give a nod to that. My token is the rotating Yankees cap.
Okay.
So if you saw that, that kind of represents me. Most people look at that and they say that makes sense for James. Other individuals that we've brought on to the Key Society, and to tell you what they represent, not just the token that we make for them, but what they represent, we like to say that each of them holds a key to our inevitable success. And I call that the Key Society. There are only 80 of those that are ever going to be made. So it's an extremely exclusive foundational community, if you will. And the reason why I refer to them as a foundational community is we're going to have a much broader community that we're building on top of this foundation that we've created with the Key Society. They represent individuals that are leaders, first movers in many different verticals and spaces, whether it's entertainment, whether it's sports, whether it's, you know, food. We've got professional golfers and individuals like Marty Hackle, who is the fashion director of Golf Digest in there. But that is the bedrock of the organization. And since we last spoke, everybody from D-Rock, who's now the executive creative producer over at Gary V, to Matthew Lillard, who's a famous actor, a number of high-profile influencers from the Web3 space, you know, people like Bored Elon Musk, who some people may not know, but if you look him up, he's got a massive following. I think he's got almost 2 million followers. The reason why he's there is he was an executive in a gaming company. I'm pretty sure it's Nintendo or Atari, although he won't tell you who that was. He's still pseudo-anon. But we do want to inevitably go into metaverses, as we kind of spoke last time and I opened up your mind.
Yeah.
So having individuals behind us to help us, you know, make sure we don't misstep when we kind of go into these various verticals and endeavors is going to be really critically important for us to make sure that they're there for us. I mean, we're announcing one tomorrow that I can probably say now because this doesn't air till tomorrow anyway, but Illa, the producer, who produced hits for Eminem, Grammy winner, my old business partner of the artwork that was above me that we saw last time, Greg Mike, being introduced tomorrow. He's a massive artist in the space. He's been a globally renowned artist now for the past, I think, 15 to 16 years. You know, we've got Wes Patterson and Jacob Galladay, both long drivers, professional golfers. I think everybody might know them if you follow along with that at all. In addition to just a number of other individuals, I could go on and on, but I don't really want to focus on that more of what they represent. That's the important part.
Yeah. And I want to touch on that really quick and say, I think it is important to represent the types of people who are getting deeply involved. You know, obviously you're hitting on a number of different areas or sectors of maybe sports or, you know, Hollywood or music. Like there's a lot of different ones. Personally, for me, when you say long driving, like I'm instantly tuned in, because for me, this is more of a golf venture than anything else, where someone who may be more in line with, you know, acting, they hear Matt Lillard and they're Matthew Lillard and they're like, oh yeah, I love that guy. He cracks me up in that one movie. So, you know, you get that idea of, you know what I mean? Like there's just these little tie-ins.
Sure.
But it's suddenly when you hear someone you're familiar with, I mean, you've got ex-football players on there, yep. You know, there's huge names that are involved in your product. And I mean, that conversation needs to be had because that is what sells the sort of sure. confidence into what you're doing.
Yeah. I mean, Bryce Butler, who was with the Raiders, I think he was, everybody would remember him from being a receiver there, and Adrian Colbert, who was with the Patriots. Ryan Dezingle was actually an NHL player. His wife, Elise Lobb, who was an ex-Fox sportscaster. So there are a number of individuals that have gotten behind what we're doing, not because it necessarily ties to one thing or another, but because we were able to explain the vision to them and they immediately got it and said, we see this as being something this is really unique what you're creating. And that's a humbling experience to have individuals that, you know, don't have to give me the time of day, to be really honest with you. Yet I was able to squeeze out that 15 minutes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Get that 15 minutes, and then it turned into 15 more minutes. And then that turned into them saying, you know, how do we get involved? Because this is really unique and really interesting. And we kind of see this as the future. So I do appreciate you kind of saying, you know, Jaron Ross is another individual that you've probably never heard of, but you've heard of Versace. He's the wholesale director there. So there are just individuals from unique sectors that all have had the same response and all have come to the same conclusion, is that the Clubhouse Archives is inevitably going to be something within the Web3 space in terms of a brand.
Yeah, I love that. So you did want to say what makes the Key Society unique before I wrapped you up in like the who and the what and the why. But I think the big idea there is just their connectivity into their unique sectors of the world and allowing them to bring that all into this new concept that is Clubhouse Archives and supporting the growth there. Is that more or less the goal?
They're my advisors. It's probably the biggest advisor ship that you've probably heard of. They are literally who I can turn to in the event that we have questions or we have things that we need to figure out. And any business goes through that. And sometimes you're like, oh, I got a group of advisors of four or five people that advise me. I went bigger on this because I understood that it could and should be bigger in the long term. So I went about it in that way. And having the correct advisors behind you and always having someone to turn to, if a question comes up, that's a really cool thing. I've always wondered whether or not, you know, how it was going to work. And then I started using it in practice and I'm like, oh, I'm stuck here. And I went to XYZ and immediately got an answer. And I was like, this is incredible to have that support system. So it's worked well thus far. And I'm really excited about where we're going to go with them at our side.
I love that. Well, let's circle back on the utilities side of things. Sure. I know it's a conversation point that you wanted to be a part of this discussion today. So, you know, breaking down the different Clubhouse Archives utilities, I mean, you mentioned a little bit about the vote discussion and development process that goes along. We haven't really talked about Garment this episode, but people should be fairly familiar with what's going on if they've spent any time looking at the website. What else is big there? What's the big story?
Yeah, I mean, as far as utility, I kind of briefly went over that in the beginning because I just wanted to give a little bit of the elevator pitch. But
yeah,
we like to think of the business as broken down into three key pillars, right? The first of those pillars is the design, development, and production of community-led product for the community, right? So they're going to create product that they inevitably get to wear for themselves. So that's kind of one pillar. The second pillar is design, development, production of that same community-led product for the broader Web3 space and even on into the Web2 space, because we will inevitably get there. And then the final pillar is really the garment that you talked about. It's the design, development, production of that individualized, special piece to the holder where they can use their IP. And the garment is really interesting. I was shocked that it was available. I think I said that last time.
Yeah, I remember that.
But it's, you know, if you hold any other NFTs or you hold IP that you'd like to utilize to create either a digital wearable, right? And we can get into what that means. We don't have to dive too far into that because that's not really the cool part. The cool part is the fact that you can then make that IRL. You can make that physical garment if you would like. Now, that'll come at a cost. We'll help guide individuals, help them understand development, understand the production of that. But when have you ever had that opportunity in Web2? You know, I can't, even if I bought 30,000 shares of Ralph Lauren, I still could not say, Ralph, I want you to make this custom piece for me. And they'd be like, yeah, who are you? you don't really find that opportunity. So the garment, is that ability to get down to the individual level and say, hey, you want to produce a, if it gets to that point and you're person that is spending time in a specific digital environment, you want to make digital wearables that represent you, great. You also want to do this IRL and you've always aspired to be a designer, we're going to open that side of the business up to you because you are a pass holder. You are in our ecosystem, and that is something we are affording individuals who are such.
So we have this conversation on THP just about every day. We talk about new products that come out in golf. Most of the time the discussion comes, we're a very critical group in terms of clubs. Yep. But when we see new product lineups come from the big names out there in golf fashion, I feel like a common discussion point is if you read 10 posts, at least two of those 10 say, oh, I really wish it did this, or it looked like this, or it had this, or they took this color.
That's right.
We are inevitably creatures of, I want it to be 100% custom built for me, and I'd love it if it was this. And it seems like with Garmin, there's that extra level of freedom there to take that next step and say, you know, I love everything about this, but I'd like this. Is that fair?
That's fair. Two things on that. The first, you just described why we've created voice as a utility.
Mm-hmm.
So allowing the community to cast their vote on products kind of eliminates, right, that end result that you just spoke about. I wish it did this. Whereas they actually get to say, hey, I wish it did this. I'm voting on that. And, you know, if the majority kind of sees it the same way, at least you've heard the majority. Now, we've gotten in a situation where people say, what if it's 60-40? The answer to that is we'll make both. Like, we don't want this to be a thing of
relay. Cool. Yeah.
All right. So we really want it to be lopsided in order to go in the direction. But on the Garmin level, the second part that I was going to say is, yeah, that's the kind of customization that you're going to then be able to save. If you've ever really wanted an item and you're like, I've always wanted a hoodie that's this, you know, that's got some extra compartment, or that had a detachable hood that, you know, instead of unzipped button. Cool. Let's bring that to life. You never know, right? We might hit upon an item that you then turn around and ends up becoming the next big item out there in the market. So that's I almost said piano key necktie.
Yeah, no, please don't do that.
But that's I think that's really interesting that you asked that.
But this does circle back into that secondary part of, if you are involved, one of the utilities is that royalty benefit.
That's right.
Where if you create something that's so impressive that everyone wants it, and maybe, and this is where we went way into the weeds, maybe a company reaches out and says, we want that in our stores, then you have a real opportunity to make some money or some royalties off the utilization of that product you got involved with. That's right. Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah. So a couple things on that: stores and or other businesses, like in Web 2 or Web 3. And we can talk about our first partnership that we announced that is very specific to golf. But to answer your question first, yeah, inevitably this business will expand out into Web 2. And if I purchased, for instance, this polo, and there were 100 of these made, I'm one of 100 individuals that if this goes into the Web 2 world and blows up in the Nordstrom.
I was going to say, you're throwing down this Web 2 conversation. We got to make sure for everyone listening, we're talking about your basic storefronts that are online presently. So you mentioned Nordstrom. That's a great example.
Yeah. I just think that's important, right? Everybody knows the brand, and that's, mm-hmm. look. I'm not trying to put these in places where no one's ever going to see. If we actually did foray into that space, we would want it to be the right partnership. So to bring that further, if I was one of the original 100 owners of this, then I would have that opportunity to share in that growth and that revenue as that expanded, which is just really crazy to think about, because that's once again unique. And then to go back, we're also going to do this in the Web 2, Web 3 space of just other brands. So 3 weeks ago, I believe, we announced our partnership with the Lynx DAO, which if you've been anywhere close to the Web 3 space, you've heard of Lynx DAO. They sold 10,000 membership passes into their NFT business to buy a golf course. They also partnered with Callaway Golf, I believe, 3 weeks ago, which I know because it was a day before our announcement, which is really interesting to follow that up. But we have partnered with them because we're going to provide high quality apparel to their membership for both men's and women's. And that's important because it represents an example of exactly what you were just saying a moment ago, right? Being able to branch out and not just do the Clubhouse Archives brand, but to provide that experience for other communities, for other businesses, and for other spaces like the traditional Web2 world.
Okay, that's really interesting. Can you, because I'm grasping a little bit, can you dig a little bit deeper into that? What exactly that means? You said not just for Clubhouse Archives, but for others.
Yeah, so we're really branding ourselves. I mean, look, think of us like a degenerate Ralph Lauren, all right? And the reason why I say that is golf is part of what we're doing.
Okay.
Right? Well, it's culture meets counterculture. It's kind of everything growing up as a designer of what I wanted Ralph to be, but what they just never got to. So I say that tongue in cheek, but what I mean by that is think about the convergence of culture and counterculture that we've seen taking place, right? You look at Melbourne and Bogey Boys. This isn't lost on individuals. They know what we're talking about. And we talk about accessibility of golf too, right? We know that that's changing. But what I mean by that is the ability to go to other communities, to other businesses, you know, any brand that you could think of in the golf world that creates apparel could come to us to either A, do a collaboration, right? Or B, help us get them into the space safely and securely, and then provide the infrastructure to do what we're doing in the space. And then also just going to other communities and saying, you want to create apparel for your community? Let us do that for you, because that's not what you do, but that is what we do. So we want to be able to provide that as a service almost to them, because we do understand that it's not easy to just say, hey, we want to produce a line of polos and you know, performance jackets and whatever that might be. That sounds great, but unless you're just going to literally go order a bunch of blanks and slap a logo on it, then it's not legitimately going to be what I would consider apparel. That's just going to be merchandise, right? We want to provide more of an intimate experience through apparel, things that you look at and you see the buttons are engraved, you see the taping, you could feel the fabrication, you know, that yummy kind of French terry that you feel when you have your favorite sweatshirt and you put that on. There's an intimate value in that. You share that with the brand that created it. And most people, that's why they become brand loyalists. And they don't know why, but it's through those little things. And we want to provide that for others so they can have that same kind of value and connection with their communities.
And a lot of that is really just a premium discussion through and through. The experience is purely premium. What about the folks out there who maybe not in that space from a purchasing perspective, but they love the idea and some of the designs you're doing? How far down the road do you think it is to where you would be coming more in that merchandise level experience for golfers?
Yeah, I think as anyone in business grows their model out, that becomes an opportunity and a, you know, something that you're kind of faced with to say, okay, when are we going to start doing diffusion lines? When I mentioned we're going to go to other communities, one thing I didn't mention is the fact that over the 23 years, I have developed relationships with factories all around the world. So not everything has to be made in Italy, and quite frankly speaking, it won't be. So we will be able to hit all levels and price points. And then within our own brand, obviously, that's kind of why I tongue-in-cheek said the degenerate Ralph Lauren.
Yeah.
I do want you to think of the different divisions and the different price points that represents, because that is what we aim to be in the sense of the way that business is set up. Golf is a piece of that, and we will have other divisions that speak to other genres and communities. But this is just where we're starting. So I do appreciate that question.
Yeah, and I'm going to go even deeper than that, because I think there is a parallel here where a lot of companies have recognized that high quality products that are not necessarily golf clubs really sell. And I don't want to say trinkets, because now we're moving into metals and things like that, but things like golf towels or golf head covers, I mean, they are becoming incredibly popular in that purchasing experience, people want to go out and they want to make their golf clubs look just as awesome as they do, which is a big part of it. So my question and challenge to you is, do you see opportunity there as well? Because we're talking premium here, and I'm not going to go buy a $30 head cover,
right?
Even though it sounds fun. There are companies out there who are celebrating stitch count and are celebrating high quality fabrics and materials that they're using to make my clubs look awesome, even when they're in the bag. So is that even on the radar for you guys yet, or are you focusing apparel?
No, absolutely. I wish I could speak about all of the partnerships that we have on the horizon. I can say you're not far off from where our head is at in terms of some of the offerings that we can have out there, especially for the golf community. Can't really say much more than that, other than to say that your head is in the right place. Those are things that we're looking at that make sense for us because it makes sense for the community. And we're excited to be able to make those announcements when we can.
So I remember the last time we talked, you had some great partnerships and some local artists you were working with. That was super cool. I have a really, what I think is dumb NFT question that might solve some issues for others. You see a lot of these like graffiti-esque NFT experiences, and just like visually, like I'm looking at my wallpaper on my desktop right now. It's kind of like that graffiti look. Maybe I borrowed it from the internet. Let's not talk about that. Obviously in a different space here, but when you purchase an NFT, can you purchase, and is there some idea here where I want an NFT that's just like a presence or a visual, and then I want to incorporate that into something like a shirt or a head cover, and I want that style to be that component. How far off is that?
No, actually, that's you're describing the garment. You just don't know it.
Okay.
I said before, you own an IP. Most NFTs, most NFT businesses, when you buy their NFT, they'll afford you the ability to use that IP commercially, which is just crazy if you think about it, because once again, that's a new frontier, right? That is what you're describing to me. Okay. And that's inevitably what the garment is, will it only be apparel in the future? Right. Or will it be other items? Like, will you be able to use that to create your own brand and lifestyle around that IP, around that intellectual property that you own, and that you are like, I do want to create a brand around this. I see it.
Yeah.
Like, it's cool. And other people have told me it's cool. There's an opportunity there. And you have to think about the thousands of images that are being created, and the thousands of little micro IPs that are being kind of shipped out to people and purchased. And there is a massive opportunity now and a big frontier upon us that everyone will understand. The light bulbs will go off right for everyone. Yeah, it's just a matter of when, right?
Well, that's just it. Like you walk into a, you know, 1940s bathroom and you see this backsplash. It's just absolutely absurd. And my mind immediately goes, how sick would this look on a material on my putter, you know?
Exactly.
And suddenly we're in this space. And I really wanted to draw this connection because I thought that's how it operated.
Yep.
But I think the idea, the comprehension of where this can actually go, this is a really solid connector. It's you see something you very much like, and you can find ways to incorporate that into your daily life, not only digitally, but physically as well, the fidgetal.
That's right. I mean, think about it this way. You could really explain the garments in one simple way. We really want to help people take ideas and bring them to life, right? And that's in a nutshell what it is. Because like you just said, you saw an idea and like you don't know how to make a tech pack and
manage
the product development and get that produced.
We're not talking Beetlejuice here either.
No, <all right. laughs> but you get what I'm saying, right? I mean,
that's for sure.
We're helping people take their ideas and bring them to life. Their ideas are typically going to come from a multitude of places, but really specifically from the IP that they own. That doesn't mean that we couldn't take your bathroom idea and work with that too. That's something, it sounds like we're going to have a sidebar.
That's awesome. Well, cool. Every time you come on here, James, it's such a blast to talk to you and figure out this new world you're paving for us as consumers. And obviously for those who actually want to get involved as participants, as, you know, people who actually jump in the front door. What's the world look like for you Thursday morning? You know, wake up with a sigh of relief, or is it gung ho?
Well, Thursday, no, because Thursday morning is still the public option that includes Crossmint. So
okay,
we're open. We are going to allow individuals, and we don't know how many will be left, unfortunately, at that point. But we do want to bring the Web2 individuals into the space. I think what it looks like for me, though, is going to be a sigh of relief, because all indications at this point are letting us know where we're going to be, and it looks great. So it's been a year and a half. I mean, I guess technically it's been 22 odd years in the making. But I have a newfound respect for any individual that's building in the Web3 space. It's just a lot of work. It's in the 22 plus years I've been doing this. This has been the most focused and the most intense amount of labor and just time that's been put in. So yeah, that's exciting. You know, that will be a sigh of relief to see it all culminate into this successful launch that we're going to have, and then the fun begins. Right, then the real fun begins, because then we're off and running, and the entire business model that you've been really gracious enough to let me explain kicks in, and the utility and the value and all of that fun stuff really starts to come to fruition, and that's, I think, what my relief will also be turning into anticipation and excitement.
Yeah.
Right.
So what exactly is next? You go through a successful launch this week, and obviously people will be tuned in for that.
Yep.
But what's next for you guys? What's the big kicker moving forward?
So we launched the passes on Wednesday for what we call our allow list, right? After that takes place, we open it up to the public. That public mint takes place, and from there we the first order of business will be, let's get everybody on board in terms of who wants to KYC, right? Who wants to go through the 1099 opportunity? And we need to vote, right? So we do need to start deciding that first item that everyone's going to receive for free, that HODL sweatshirt that everyone will have the opportunity to claim. And that is what I'm most excited about, is seeing that transpire. Because I'll be oddly enough honest that was one of the first ideas I had last February when I came up with this, and I got away from the sweatshirt idea and came full circle back to it. It will be really cool to see that take place and to see all of that transpire, because it'll be surreal, I think.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, if you have the time, we'd love to get you back on at some point to hear how things are going. Obviously this is a big step this week, but it's very much the beginning, it seems like. So, you know, you're celebrating a year and a half or 22 years, but really this is where it all gets going. So, James, as always, it's been my absolute pleasure having you on and learning from you as you pioneer this experience for us.
Well, Dan, I share those sentiments on the other side here. I really appreciate the opportunity that you've afforded me to come on and really just cut it up with you over what we're doing. It's always a natural conversation, and I do appreciate that. You guys run a tight ship over here, but it's fun. It's entertaining. It's awesome. And I just wanted to say, from everyone inside of our organization and business, we appreciate you. So that's thanks again for having us on.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we'll be watching and sounds like some people are going to get involved. So here we go. Enjoy the experience, everyone. It's been James Costa once again from Clubhouse Archives. You can find them on Twitter with all the news you could possibly imagine. It's Clubhouse ARC NFT. I'll be watching. And if you're playing golf this weekend, do have a great time. Pay attention to what you're wearing and wonder, would I change anything about this garment? We'll see you guys next week.
Take care.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.